Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Today we take a look at agricultural development in our state with our guest to start the show, Randy Romanowski. He is the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And as we talk with him, I hope you'll join in. Where would you like to see Wisconsin agriculture head in the next decade? What questions do you have for the Secretary? You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email to ideas at WPR.org. Ideas at WPR.org. Secretary Romanowski, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Larry, thanks a lot for having me on. I always enjoy talking about Wisconsin's $104.8 billion agriculture industry. So happy to talk to you today.
Well, it's certainly a big part of our state's economy. You mentioned $1.4 billion, I believe you said. How are we?
$104.8 billion a year.
Amazing a figure. So it's really contributing a lot to the economy in a whole variety of ways.
It really is, Larry. So one of the things I like to remind people is that one out of nine jobs in the state of Wisconsin, or one out of nine people working in the state of Wisconsin right now, is in a job related to agriculture. And people initially think about people on the farm working every day to grow a crop or tend to animals, but there are so many other jobs in Wisconsin related to it. There's the processing industry. There's the transport industry. There's logistics. Wisconsin products are going all over the world, and there's a large infrastructure of a lot of people working in Wisconsin to make that happen. So it's a really big part of our state's economy.
Talk about how the economic strength of Wisconsin farms has changed over the years. It's grown.
Agriculture's value to our state continues to grow. Our farmers are at the cutting edge. Wisconsin historically has done a wonderful job of investing in tools that not only help farmers but help the industry itself. A good example of that is the Dairy Innovation Hub that has been created here and has created new partnerships between UW-Madison, River Falls, and Platteville. So there's coordination and collaboration for research opportunities, which only grows the value of that Wisconsin product. We host the World Dairy Expo, as we should. We're America's Dairyland, every year to showcase Wisconsin's dairy industry. But I think you did a fine job. I was listening on your lead-in, Larry, and you did an excellent job of pointing out the fact that we are America's Dairyland. Dairy accounts for about half of that $104.8 billion. But we are top five in the production of things like beans, peas, sweet corn, potatoes, ginseng. I could go on. There are so many things grown, produced, and processed here in Wisconsin. And not only is that a strong part of our economy, it's a great sense of pride for our state.
Yeah. And there are challenges. What are some of the economic challenges that you see Wisconsin farmers facing right now?
There are challenges. There are things like trade disruptions, weather patterns. In this case, Russia's war in the Ukraine. Ukraine has had an impact on markets. All those things that can have an impact. And Wisconsin farmers have been experiencing those impacts over the last few years. It's been a really unique last few years, and some of that goes into some of the trade disruptions that have happened. But last year, Larry, was a really solid year for Wisconsin agriculture. The weather here in Wisconsin was good. Crop prices were good. Yields were good. In some cases, record yields or near record yields. And last year, prices farmers received for their products were pretty good. The challenges last year, prices farmers paid were also high. So that's a challenge. But I attended the UW-Madison Ag Economic Summit a little while ago, and there were some positive signs for that the farmers had used some of that revenue that they had gained to kind of pay down some of their debt, that there was some general optimism looking forward with the obvious concerns about what prices may happen. The milk prices dropped just a little bit in a state like Wisconsin. That's something that people like to keep their eye on. So generally, the Ag Economic Summit was a dose of optimism with the realization that there are always things outside of a farmer's control that could impact their prices.
You know, before the show, I was thinking about my own youth. I grew up on a family farm, and it was considered a pretty large farm. It was like 300 acres, and we had milking about 60 cows back then, which was a long time ago, Randy. But that's changed a lot. Certainly there's been I think there's about half as many farms as when, I was a kid that we have in the state now, but we still have a large number we have a trend to larger farms.
Well, the industry continues to evolve, and farmers are resilient. They try to identify opportunities and try to see how those challenges may affect them. There has been some change in I'll use the dairy industry in particular because you mentioned the farm you grew up on. Right now, we still have about 20% of all dairy farms in the United States located in Wisconsin. So we still wear the America's Dairyland crown proudly. The milk volume was actually up just a little bit last month in a survey. Something that I share with people a lot because it's not well known, but 95%+ of all dairy farms in the state of Wisconsin are family owned and operated. And that's been a pretty consistent trend. And the average herd size in Wisconsin is about 200 right now. There are fewer dairy farms than there were 10 or 20 years ago. There's no question about that. But again, I go back to Wisconsin still has about 20% of all dairy farms in the United States, which is a high percentage.
And the state has several programs to help grow the ag economy. And maybe talk about some of those core programs. One is the dairy development and meat and livestock development. How does that program help farmers?
Well, we're really fortunate. And Larry, I'm gonna tell a little bit longer story, but I also know that you have breaks that you need. So I'm gonna try and keep on task here. But in Wisconsin, when it comes to agriculture, there's more that we agree on than disagree on. And I'm talking about policymakers. And we're really fortunate. There are a couple programs that I'm going to mention here right now that have gotten support from Governor Tony Evers and the legislature. So they've come to agreement on these are good programs to do. They help invest in agriculture. That's a good thing for Wisconsin. There's a couple of projects. There are several programs that our agency has, but the ones I'll focus on are the two that you mentioned. Dairy Processor Grant Program. It's a small grant program that offers some incentives for dairy processors in the state of Wisconsin to modernize, innovate, maybe develop a new product line. And as if a cheese plant does a product like that, what that helps is it trickles down to the dairy farmer because it means that that's an ongoing support and a place for that farmer to be providing their milk. That's a program that got doubled in the last biennial budget. There's that bipartisan support that I mentioned. And Governor Evers has proposed to keep that funding, to increase the funding now and moving forward. It's a valuable program. It's always oversubscribed, and it's a great way to invest in one of Wisconsin's agriculture staples, which is the dairy processing industry. Another one is the meat processing grant program. What we saw during the pandemic is that with some of the larger processing plants going down, that there was a disruption in the supply chain, a choke point, as it were, getting animals to market. And so Wisconsin is fortunate that we have this network of large, medium, and small meat processors all around the state. And what the governor proposed is a small grant program to help them modernize and expand their opportunities to build some resiliency into the system so we don't hit those disruptions and choke points with delaying animals getting to the marketplace. And this is good for processing businesses, whether they're large, medium, or small, federally inspected or state inspected here in Wisconsin, to modernize, expand, and then work. That then helps all farmers to get their animals in scheduled, get them processed, and keeps that supply chain moving. There was a state-funded program that was developed in the last budget, introduced by Governor Evers, supported by the legislature, small amount of money. And Governor Evers saw that there was such a large interest in the program by processors and the livestock industry here in Wisconsin that he set aside $10 million in funding for grants to meat processors in the state of Wisconsin. And right now we're working through the details on all those, but there's about 90 meat processors in the state that are in line to receive funding to help them modernize and expand their operations, which is good for the state's economy.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob in Madison, we'll give you a chance to join in. Bob, thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning. I guess I'm just a little bit cynical about all these huge programs or small and medium programs or whatever kind of programs. At the end of the day, we've seen the greatest farm loss since greater than the Great Depression over the last 10 years here in Wisconsin. And the idea that you can have a small farm, yeah, maybe if you have some money already and you can do like a little boutique farm and pretend you're a farmer. The bottom line is you got to be pretty big to stay in business. I grew up on a farm here. It's gotten surprisingly huge. And the real issue is that these programs, like so many programs, they sound really good in principle and they make for a good, radio talk, and talking heads can talk about them, but they don't really do much. As Mark Twain said, thunder's good, thunder's impressive, but it's lightning gets the work done,
Well, Bob, thanks for calling. Secretary Romanowski, what do you think?
Well, Bob, thanks for sharing your thoughts. Never a bad thing to hear a Mark Twain quote in the morning, so I appreciate that. What I would say is that, there have been changes over the farm economy over the years, without question. But again, I go back to the fact that farmers are resilient and they find new and different ways to do things and they evolve. And there is an opportunity for success in Wisconsin agriculture. And the example I'll give is, Larry, you said you grew up on a farm of about 300 acres. In Wisconsin, the average farm is still about 200 acres. So think about that. You felt like you grew up on a larger farm for the time. That's larger than average right now. And that number comes from a recent National Ag Statistics survey that just happened. So the average farm size in Wisconsin is relatively small. And you can find opportunities to be successful no matter what size you are. DACAP with its programs is size neutral. And I think to the point about programs, our value is to be a resource to the industry, a resource to the citizens of the state. It is the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. By the way, Larry, to you and all of your listeners, happy Consumer Protection Week. It's National Consumer Protection Week, everybody. Larry, I know that's of interest and importance to you. But we have these programs available to be a resource to the industry. And it could be something like the dairy processor grants that I just talked about, but it could also be something like the Buy Local, Buy Wisconsin program, which is a small grant program that we have that helps farms and businesses more efficiently process, market, and distribute locally grown food products. That's a way to connect people to their food. And in a state like Wisconsin, where we grow, produce, and process so much, making sure that we're making that connection between the farmer and the consumer is a really good thing, because that means that people know their farmer, know their food, and it creates this great opportunity to see where the next generation of agriculture goes in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. Randy Romanowski, our guest today, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Questions for him or comments, I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org. Clara Neipert is our producer today. Trita LaSousa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at the state of farming in Wisconsin today with our guest, Randy Romanowski, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Great to have him with us today to talk about farming in our state. And you can join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Nick in Green Bay will give you a chance to join in. Hi, Nick.
I've got a question. I was wondering how we're ranking against California, because I used to work for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, and I can't tell you how many subdivisions are being sucked up from the farmland. I mean, it's really scary because my family came from farming, and, you know, we're losing our heritage.
Yeah.
Well, if we're looking at a comparative to California, California is a really large geographic state, and they clearly have a lot of agriculture going on there. But what I would say is Wisconsin compares favorably to California or any other state when it comes to agriculture and the impact to its economy and the number of people it employs. California says they're the American Fairyland. That's not true. Our license plate affirmatively says that Wisconsin is America's Fairyland. They may produce a little more milk than us, but we produce by far the most cheese. 25% of the U.S. cheese production is here in the state of Wisconsin. If Wisconsin were a country, we would be the fourth largest cheese producing country in the world. So think about that when we think about the type of industry we have. It means that we have a lot of dairy cows. We have, as I said, 20% of the U.S. dairy herd is here, and it means the rest of the world is aware of Wisconsin's products and very interested in consuming them. So there's a good example. The other thing I would say is we can't lose sight of so many of these other commodities that are grown here, including specialty crops. But people might not know it. Wisconsin is the number two organic state in the United States, second to California, but again, think about that. People recognize California as an organic state, and we are the number two organic state in the country. So that's another thing to be proud of, and I like to point that out. I think Wisconsin comparatively and competitively stands out strong when it comes to agriculture across the United States and is recognized throughout the world for many products and commodities.
What do you think it is about Wisconsin that helps support organic farming?
I think it's a commitment by the industry. It is the ethic that's strong in Wisconsin. That's a business practice that has been embraced. You know, I think the state of Wisconsin years ago made a decision that it was going to promote diversity. It wasn't just going to be a rush to here's the most of everything and anything. It was a rush to understand that diversification and competition for at the high end and specialty crops was a really good business model, and Wisconsin has got so many things about it that's unique. Whether it's the fact that we produce about 60% of the United States cranberries, or we're the number one mink producing state, those are clearly different and unique products. Ginseng's another example. I think there is a strong core of farmers in Wisconsin that understand organic production is an opportunity for them, and they have embraced the business model, and that's what adds to Wisconsin's strength.
A listener called, couldn't stay with us, wondering if DATCAP is investigating any events of child labor issues, especially migrant children labor in agriculture. Of course, we've seen a lot of news lately about child labor across industries lately, and hopes the grant money that you were talking about earlier isn't supporting child labor.
Well, our grants go to the businesses, so the dairy processor grants go to dairy processors in the state of Wisconsin. The meat grants go to Wisconsin companies that allegations of labor violations is not something that our agency, it's not within our agency's purview. So it's at the federal standards, and they would be the ones who do those investigations. And obviously those investigations are important to be done.
One initiative we have is the Farm to School program. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, very happy about the Farm to School program. It's a small program that we have, but we're really pleased about it because it makes those connections between Wisconsin farmers and Wisconsin produced food products and schools. And it's our Farm to School coordinator does a fantastic job of identifying barriers to making that happen, and then working to kind of try and break down some of those barriers. So we're very excited to have the program. We recognize the great connection between, I've talked to it about a few times, of connecting people, consumers, to a farm product that might be produced just down the road a little bit. So we are happy to have the program. Governor Evers, in his biennial budget, has proposed a way to grow that program a little bit called the Farm to Fork program. So we would take that concept of working with farmers and getting their healthy, nutritious food into schools, and Farm to Fork would allow them to also be able to provide food to a local business, a local hospital, a technical college, things of that nature. Again, building off of the fact that we produce so much here, it's great to connect that dot between farmer and consumer.
Yeah. So how do the farms actually work with the schools? How do they work together?
Well, they would, first of all, have a product that would be potentially available to a school. And there are, for schools, because they're delivering a product to children, they would have to make sure that whatever is coming in is fits the nutritional values that are established. And then ultimately, our farm to school coordinator would work with them to try and make connections to see what standards need to be met, transport, how much can be provided, and when, things of that nature. And it's really, I mentioned it a couple times, our role here is to be a resource and connect the dots, and that's how we approach it.
John wonders about if you could talk more about the mission of the and what goes on with the Buy Local, Buy Wisconsin program.
Sure, it's a small program, but and it's competitive grants. So this helps farmers and businesses to more efficiently process or market their locally grown food products. So this could include individuals or groups of businesses involved in Wisconsin production agriculture, food processing, food distribution, retail food establishments, or it could even include like agricultural tourism operations. The goal here is to help these businesses maybe expand their market capacity, be a little more efficient, and connect people to a locally grown or produced product.
Randy Romanowski, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, our guest today. Join in with your questions. Where would you like to see Wisconsin agriculture headed in the next decade or so? The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Wisconsin farmers can, I think, appeal to worldwide consumers in addition to local ones. On a global scale, talk about what our Wisconsin farms are exporting.
Sure. And this is great how your program is set up today, Larry, because we've been able to talk about the value of Wisconsin agriculture locally with programs like the Buy Local, Buy Wisconsin program. We have the Something Special from Wisconsin program to be proud of. But really, Wisconsin products are well known and desired on the international marketplace. For the second consecutive year, we have set a record for Wisconsin ag exports, and that's really exciting. So everything from dairy to meat to crop products are in demand, and Wisconsin is able to provide them. And we've seen an increase in both volume and value for Wisconsin products in the marketplace. So that's a really good thing for our agriculture economy and good for agribusinesses and farmers.
Yeah. Is forestry a part of that as well?
It is. Yeah, it's part of our Wisconsin agricultural exports. The interesting thing about that is the Department of Natural Resources has a forestry program, and then we work with businesses to promote export of forestry products.
Yeah. And another one that caught my eye, too, was in terms of international trade, was bovine semen.
Wisconsin is well known throughout the world as a leader in animal genetics. And it's not unusual when our International Agribusiness Center team, which is our international marketing team here at the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, it's not unusual for them when they go out on trade missions to have somebody from the genetics industry in Wisconsin along with them. It's a really high value product in the international marketplace, and Wisconsin's recognized as a leader in that.
And you mentioned the trade missions. Can you talk more about the trade missions? What's on track for that, and where do we go?
Well, the good thing about it is Wisconsin has a pretty strong international presence, and there are places that are pretty consistently top markets for Wisconsin, and those include Canada, Mexico, China, Korea, and Japan. Those five countries make up about 65 to 70% of total exports from Wisconsin. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be in other places. In fact, we should. And so we're really fortunate to have something called the Wisconsin Initiative for Ag Exports. It's something Governor Evers proposed in his budget, and the legislature agreed to fund the program. So, again, that bipartisan agreement that we are optimistic to see again during this budget period. But the funding for the Wisconsin Initiative on Ag Export allows our agency to work with businesses that want to export to grow their presence in the international marketplace. And the benefit of the funding that comes to us, which winds up being about $1 million a year, is much of that goes right back out to the businesses themselves to help them develop their international portfolio, to figure out what products they might have might be a good sale in the international marketplace and where they should be. So our International Agribusiness Center team identifies opportunities. So it could be anything from being in the Middle East, which our team was recently for a trade venture, to taking part in federal delegations. For instance, I went to the UK on a federal trade delegation led by the USDA. And the important thing is for us to identify marketplaces, identify opportunities, and then work with Wisconsin businesses to take advantage of those opportunities. And there could be a lot of places all over the world, and are a lot of places all over the world, that we're looking at to try and expand Wisconsin exports.
Claire wondered, how can renewable energy be incorporated on farms?
Well, as you're driving through the countryside, which I do a lot, it's not unusual to see barns with solar arrays on them. I've seen some small wind, or there are other larger solar arrays that are being developed. I think there are a lot of opportunities to consider. Another thing, especially since Wisconsin has the dairy industry here, is that digesters are a component of that. Actually, digesters have been around on the landscape for many years in Wisconsin. They were initially transitioning to electricity. Now, there's been a little bit of a transition or considered a transition to go to renewable natural gas from manure. And that's an opportunity for Wisconsin, another way to diversify a farm operation. And as those units become more scalable, they can be legitimate business investment for a smaller dairy farm operation. So that's good to see, too, because we do still have a range of size of dairies. If you think about it, our average dairy farm in Wisconsin is about 200 animals, as I mentioned before. But that means we have a lot of dairy farms that are smaller than that, as well as having some that are bigger than that. So that's one way to take a look at it. I think the focus on sustainability is something that we hear a lot. We hear it from consumers here in the United States, and we hear it from partners in the international marketplace, too. I think it's really important that farmers and Wisconsin businesses tell their story about how they are operating sustainably and are being stewards of the land. An example is there are some really cutting-edge things going on in various parts of the agriculture industry to use less water, use more no-till and cover crop practices to retain soil and protect our waterways. A lot of that's going on right now, and it's becoming more and more common for people to tell those stories. And that's a really good thing, Larry, because at the end of the day, farmers are stewards of the land, and they want to do things that help them compete economically, but also protect the land and water that we all share.
Deb in New Auburn emailed us and wonders if you could talk about the value of grazing within the state and if the department is working in support of grazing.
Yeah, thanks. Great question. And grazing is another one of those concepts. If you are grazing, you have you are basically having covered ground, and that's obviously a part of carbon sequestration, which is a way to point to and say that's helping out our changing climate. We do what we do our best to try to answer questions about grazing. We have a staff person on our team here who connects to the grazing industry, and it's an option for farmers to consider in Wisconsin, and it's ultimately the business practice of that farmer to do. But we have a lot of really good examples of farmers who can point to the benefits of grazing, both for their herd as well as for their impact to carbon sequestration and addressing our changing climate.
And one other question relates to cooperatives. You know, we're the kind of the original cooperative state, I think, when it came to agriculture. Talk about the importance of cooperatives in the state as far as farms are concerned.
Well, it's a business model that has kind of been part of the fiber of Wisconsin agriculture. There's still a strong cooperative structure in the state of Wisconsin, and that's a good thing because it provides voice to collective voice for farmers, and that helps speak with volume. So a good example is we can point to farmers working together. That could be part of a cooperative structure as members of a co-op, or it could be part of them working in organizations like producer-led watershed groups. There is a strong level of cooperation between farmers in the state of Wisconsin. Farmers talking to farmers, farmers learning from farmers, and working for the common good, which in the state of Wisconsin is a benefit to our agriculture economy.
You know, in just a couple of minutes, we'll be talking about robots and technology on the farm. Does the state have programs that help farmers? And if afford and use this new technology?
Well, the state has limited programs. We've talked about a few of them. A lot of our grant programs are relatively small, Larry, and they work on trying to develop markets. Having said that, you know, there are advances in technology that can occur, and farmers are always looking at what that next generation of equipment or technology might be that can help them modernize and become more efficient. Again, it's that adaptability of farmers as they're looking to the future. Some of the things that we've been talking about in our short time here, like some of the water conservation methods that are used right now, are very technical in that they can sense when there needs to be irrigation on a part of a property, but only during that time, so there's less water usage. The use of different kinds of equipment as practices evolve is another good example of that. And I guess, again, we see farmers being willing to adapt to those kinds of modifications.
Well, Randy, it's been a lot of fun talking with you today. I really appreciate your time, and hopefully we can do this again down the road. Thank you so much.
Hey, Clary, I would appreciate it and really, really enjoyed being on the show today. Thank you.
Randy Romanowski, Secretary of our Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Fun having him on the show today. Well, speaking of farms, today's farm look a lot different from the farms of the past, and we're going to be talking about that next with our guest, Joe Schockel. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network.